Okay, today's daf is Nida Daf Dalid. We left off in Daf Gimel, and basically we're going to go backtrack a little bit because we left off right in the middle of a discussion. So we're going to go all the way back to where you have the parentheses with the simin of Shulayim, Badukin, Mechusin, Bezav, and Simin. So today's shiur is once again sponsored by Dr. David Landrieu in honor of his wife and children. We thank Dr. Landrieu again very much for the sponsorship. So the first thing we're going to talk about is we're going to ask a question on Chizkiyah. Chizkiyah does not assume Tumah L'Mafreya by a kupa that you find the sheretz in at some point. And we're going to point out that that's against both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, who do assume Tumah L'Mafreya when you find the sheretz in a kupa. So the first thing the Gemara is going to do is ask that question and give four answers to that question. And then the Gemara is going to discuss, based on the fourth answer that we give to that question, the inyan of being machzik tuma mi makom lemakom. If I find tuma when an item is in one place, do I have to assume that even when that item was in its previous location, that the tuma was already there when the item was in its previous location? Being machzik tuma mi makom lemakom. Then the Gemara is going to discuss on Amud Beis. It's going to the sheet of the Chachamim. We had a machlok as Shammai and Hillel in the Mishnah, and the Chacham said, if a woman finds dam, we don't assume daya shaita like Shammai, nor do we assume mifkida lufkida like Hillel from the time of her last bedika. Rather, we assume me'es le'es me'etes alidei mifkida lufkida me'etes alidei me'es le'es, whichever was more recent, 24 hours, or her last bedika. So we're just going to elaborate on the sheet of the Chachamim and then give two explanations of the sheet of the Chachamim, what their sheet is based on. And then at the very end of the daf, we'll see if we get this far today, the Gemara is going to try to figure out which Tana holds, like our Mishnah, that a woman with a veset is dayashaita, that a woman that everyone would agree, that if a woman has a veset, that when she finds them, that it's dayashaita, that there is no tumah l'mafreya whatsoever. So let's begin again going back a little bit to the simin. So itmar kupa shenasham shbataras bezav zuv nimtzi sharis bezav acheres. Let's say you have a box that you used for taharos in one corner, but you find a dead sheretz in the other corner of the box after you've already removed the taharos from the box. So do you assume that sheretz was there while the taharos were still in the box? Chizkiyah amar taharos rishonos tahoros. Chizkiyah says no assumption of tumah. Everything was fine when the taharos were in the box. This sheretz showed up later. Rabbi Yochanan amar taharos rishonos tumeos. And Rabbi Yochanan says no. The sheretz must have been there the entire time, and therefore the taharos that you had in this box are going to be tameh. So frak the Gemara on Chizkiyah. Shammai v'Hillel modu b'kupa d'taros rishonos tumeos. Both Shammai and Hillel are moda that when it comes to the box, that the taros rishonos are tumeos. So how can Chizkiyah come and tell me that it's all taros, it's fine, that the sheretz wasn't there? Shammai and Hillel, they both say that we assume tumah l'mafreya. So to this, the Gemara is going to have four answers. Answer number one. Ki modu Shammai and Hillel b'kupa sheyesh l'shulayim. No, when are Shammai and Hillel moda that there's tumah l'mafreya? That's only if the box has a bottom to it where we're choshesh that the sheretz was already in the box at the time the taros were there, but the shulayim prevented the sheretz from leaving the box when you emptied the taros out. When you flipped over the box to empty the taros out, the sheretz could have gotten stuck in the shulayim of the box. Ki pligi chizkiyah v'Rabbi Yochanan b'kupa she'en lo shulayim. Chizkiyah and Rabbi Yochanan are talking about a kupa that doesn't have a bottom to it, and you could use it when it's lying on the ground on its side, and when you take the taros out, it has no bottom to it, so the whole thing, everything's going to fall right out as soon as you stand it up, including a sheretz. So when you took out any taharos, if there were a sheretz there, the sheretz would have fallen out. So what's a sheretz doing there now? The sheretz must have come in later, and that's where Chizkiyah and Rabbi Yochanan disagree. So frankly, Mara, wait a second. Eilo shulayim, my time is Rabbi Yochanan. If it doesn't have a bottom to the box, and it's when you flip it over, the whole thing is wide open. So then, how could anyone say that the sheretz was there when the taros were there? When you emptied out the taros, shouldn't the sheretz have fallen out? How do we explain Shitas Rabbi Yochanan? Says Mara, eilo shulayim v'yesh la ognayim. It doesn't have a bottom to the box, but it does have a rim around the edge of the box. box. So it could be that when you emptied out the taharos from the box, the taharos all dumped out onto the ground, but the sheretz got stuck in the rim of the box. And that's why Rabbi Yochanan is going to assume that the sheretz was there the whole time and is therefore mitame the taharos. But Chizkiyah would say, no, it's ein lo shulayim mistam. If the sheretz were there, it would have fallen out. So asks the Gemara, va'atanya. But don't we have a brisa that tells us as follows that amadla asara d'layim mayim b'zeh achazeh, that if a person takes 10 buckets of water one after the other with the same bucket, he keeps taking the same bucket and dipping it in the water and taking more and dumping it into a larger barrel, v'nimtza sheretz be'achon mehen, and one of the times that he's dole mayim, he finds a sheretz in his bucket before he pours it into the large barrel that he's dumping all of this water into. So hu tameh, that dli itself is going to be tameh, but the kulan taharin, all the mayim that's in the large barrel that he's dumping the water into is tahar, because obviously we're working with the assumption that the sheretz that he sees right now in this bucket has just arrived in this bucket. The sheretz was not there when he took the previous helpings of water that he had dumped into the large barrel. That this idea that the water that's in the large kli is all tahar, that's only if the bucket doesn't have a rim around it. Then we would say that if the sheretz was in the dli, so in the previous times, it would have fallen out. But if there's a rim around the bucket, then kulan tamein. Then we assume they're all tamei, all the water is tamei, because it could very well be the sheretz was there the whole time, and each time you dumped out the water, the sheretz just kept getting stuck on the rim. But the sheretz may have in fact been there the entire time. So if Chizkiyah and Rabbi Yochanan are really arguing about a kupa that doesn't have a rim around it, and that's where Chizkiyah holds that the taros that are not tamei l'mafreya, so lemi Chizkiyah lesei Rabbi Yanai. So Chizkiyah doesn't hold like Rabbi Yanai in explaining the brisa. So says Gemara, no, there's a difference between a bucket that has water and a box that has taharos, that has peros in it. When you're emptying out peros, it goes differently than when you're emptying out water. Maya shriki, water, when you want to pour it out, you don't have to flip the whole bucket upside down. You could just tilt it a little bit. And therefore, it's possible that if there's a sheretz in the bucket, when you tilt the water out, the sheretz will very likely still stay in the bucket. But peri lo shriki, but when it comes to Losharki, when it comes to peros, you're going to dump the whole thing upside down, and if that's going to happen, the sheretz should fall out as well. Inami, or another explanation of why mayim is different than peros, mayim lo kapid alayu. A person is not so makbid to get every last drop of water out when he's dumping out the water, so he's not going to flip the bucket upside down when he's dumping out the water. So it could be that the ognayim of the kli, that the rims of the kli will contain the sheretz, that will catch the sheretz. But piri kapid alayu, when it comes to peros, a person is makbid to empty all of the peros out of the box, and he's not going to leave anything, so he's going to turn it all upside down. So if there was a sheretz in the box, it would have fallen out, and therefore we can assume that there was no sheretz in the box from the fact that the sheretz did not fall out at an earlier time. So that was all answer number one. So again, the kasha was kasha on Chizkiyah. How can Chizkiyah say that we're not going to assume tumah l'mafreya by a kupa that you find the sheretz? Both Shammai and Hillel do assume tumah l'mafreya. So answer number one was that Shammai and Hillel were talking about a box that has a bottom to it, and Chizkiyah was talking about a box that does not have a bottom to it. Now answer number two. V'i b'yaseima ki modu Shammai and Hillel b'kupa shein b'duka. Shammai and Hillel are modu that if you find the sheretz, that there's an assumption of tumah l'mafreya, that the sheretz was there the whole time. That's only by a kupa shein b'duka, that you hadn't checked it for shratzim when you initially put the taros inside of the box, and therefore it never had a cheskas tahara. So that's why you're going to assume the tumah l'mafreya. Ki pligi chizkiyah v'Rabbi Yochanan, the machlokas chizkiyah and Rabbi Yochanan, whether we assume tumah l'mafreya is b'kupa b'duka. That's a box that you checked for shratzim. So mar savar habatka, Chizkiyah will say, well, you checked for shratzim before you put the taros in, and therefore it had a cheskas tahara, so you should assume that the sheretz is more recent, and therefore we don't assume tumah l'mafreya. But Umar Sav, Rabbi Yochanan, disagrees and holds, Emorim Siluki Adonafal, that it could be that as soon as the guy finished checking, the sharetz fell in right then, right at that moment, the sharetz fell in the box, and therefore, by the time he put the taros in, or certainly before the time he removed the taros from the box, the sharetz was already in the box, and it was mitame, everything in the box. So says Gemara Vadumya di Isha Katani, wait a second. The suffix that we used about, that we taught about a kupa, is talking about a suffix that's similar to the case of an Isha Haro Adam. After all, we're learning Maseches Nida, that's how this whole thing of a kupa came up, right? It all started with an Isha Haro Adam. So we tried to prove from the case of kupa, that Hillel used it to try to prove from the case of kupa that there is such a thing as Tumma L'Mafreya by an Isha as well. But wait a second, the Isha Bedukahi. An Isha is Beduka. An Isha has to check in the morning and in the evening. So by a kupa, you have to say that we're talking about Dumya the Isha in a case where it was checked for Shratzim, and nevertheless, apparently, even in a box that was checked, Shammai and Hillel are moda that there's Tumah L'Mafreya. So now the Gemara's Kasha back on Chizkiya comes right back, meaning that we tried to answer that the whole Machlokes Chizkiya and Rabbi Yochanan is by Kupa Beduka, but the Mishnah with Shammai and Hillel was talking about Eina Beduka. No, if we're going to compare it to an Isha, then it's got to be a Kupa Beduka, not an Eina Beduka, because an Isha is Beduka. So says Mar, you know what? Really, we're talking about a kupa that's not beduka mishratzim. Are you going to tell me an isha is beduka? Not necessarily. Kiven deshchichi badamim, since a woman can bleed at any time, and it's very common that a woman will randomly bleed, kisha'ena beduka damya, that she's always considered to be ena beduka. I mean, she could do all the bedikas in the world, but there's no bedika that's sufficient when it comes to an isha, and therefore she's always considered to be Eina Beduka. So that was answer number two. Now answer number three. I isn't Chizkiya against both Shammai and Hillel. V'iba yaseima, maybe the way to answer the stira is as follows. Ki modu Shammai v'Hillel, when Shammai and Hillel are moda, that if you find a sheretz in the box, that you assume Tumma L'Mafreya is Bekupa Sheina Mechusa. That's a box that's uncovered and it's exposed on the top, and therefore there's a reasonable chashash that right after you checked the box, even though it is a kupa beduka, a sheretz could have fallen in because it's wide open at top. A sheretz could fall in at any time. Chizkiya and Rabbi Yochanan are talking about a box that is covered, and therefore it's impossible for a sheretz to fall in. Frankly, more impossible. Well, then how do you explain Rabbi Yochanan mechusa hechi nafil? How could a sheretz ever fall in if it's mechusa? So answer the Gemara: Kigon shetashmisha al yedei kisui. Now the case is that the use of the box is al yedei kisui. The use of the box that when you want to put something in, you'd open up the cover of the box and put something in. So Chizkiya holds that the taros inside are tahoros because kol zman that the taros are in it, you're careful to keep it covered, and only after you removed the taros from the box, you were mesiach das from protecting it properly. And Rabbi Yochanan would say that it's going to be tameos because at any point when you remove the cap to the box, when you remove the cover to the box, a sheretz could have fallen in. But the suffix about the kupa is supposed to be a similar case to the case of the isha that's ro adam, because after all, Hillel used the case of kupa to prove his point. So the isha mechusi, and the halacha is that an isha is mechusa. What does it mean an isha is mechusa? That it never happened that a woman will find dam that came in from the outside. A woman might find dam in her clothing that came from the outside, but a woman does bedika and finds in the bayis hachiton, in her own body, that there's dam. That dam didn't come from outside of her body. So a woman is very much mechusa. And nevertheless, Shammai and Hillel moda, the taros that were, so by a kupa, we also have to be talking about mechusa. And in a case of a kupa that's mechusa, apparently Shammai and Hillel moda, that the taros are tamei l'mafreya. Not like the Gemara said that Shammai and Hillel were talking about a kupa she'ena mechusa. So now the kasha goes back on Chizkiya, who's mitar the taros that were in the box. Says the Gemara, no, we're talking about a kupa she'ena mechusa. How do you compare a kupa she'ena mechusa to an isha? An isha is not so mechusa either. Kiven deshchichi badamim kishein mechusa damya. Since it's so common for a woman to bleed, it's considered that it's eina mechusa. Meaning, what are we worried about? We're not worried about dam from the outside. Dam from the outside wouldn't make a difference for the woman. We're worried about dam coming from the inside. And since it could come at any time, there is no covering. There's no covering that will protect the woman from tumas nida, because the dam can come at any time. So you can't say, yes, physically she is mechusa in the sense that nothing's coming from the outside. but as far as what the actual concern is, the actual concern is dam from the inside. So that a woman is not mechusa. And now answer number four, and answer number four is going to take us on a tangent that's going to bring us all the way in Talmud Beis. But answer number four for Chizkiyah is Yibay Yisema Kimodu Shamayin Hillel Bezavis Kupa. When we talk about finding it in another corner, what do we mean? When Shammai and Hillel are Moda, that if you find a sheretz in the box, that the original taros are Tameh, that's talking about you find the sheretz in another corner of the box that had the taros. That since the sheretz was found in the same spot, just in another corner of the box, so we're mitamin the mafreya. The machlokas chizkin and Rabbi Yochanan is when you find the sheretz in another corner of the house. So, frankly, what do you mean? Vakupa kamar. How could you say another corner of the house? It says explicitly that it's in the kupa, that it's in the box. No, hachi kamar. Let's say you had this box, you kept taros in the box when it was in that corner of the house. And then you took the box, you moved it somewhere else, you removed all the taros, you brought the box somewhere else after removing all of the taros, and you put the box in a different corner. And then in that different corner, vinimtsa sheretz. You know what? Maybe that corner of your house is infested, and the original corner that had the taros was not infested. And therefore, the taros should be totally fine. Vinimtsa sheretz bizavas acheretz. You found the sheretz when the box was in another corner of your house. The sheretz is in the same box, but the box is now in a different corner, and the box doesn't have the taros anymore. So chizki yasavar lo mechaskin and tumah makom lemakom. We don't assume that tumah, that just because there's a chazaka that there was tumah in the box when it was in this corner, that the tumah must have been in the box while it was in the other corner as well. And we say, if the sheretz was found over here, so we're choshesh, this is where it's infested. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan savar machzikinan. Rabbi Yochanan holds, no, we're machzik tumah mimakom lemakom, and we're choshesh that the sheretz was already in the box when it was in the other corner, when the taros were still in the box, and therefore the taros are going to be tamei l'mafreya. So on that topic of being machzik tumah mimakom lemakom, the Gemara says, well, wait a second. Are we really machzik tumah mimakom lemakom? Meaning, we just said Chizkiyah is not machzik tumah mimakom, but Rabbi Yochanan is. So says the Gemara, is that true? Does Rabbi Yochanan hold, just because I find tumah in one place, it means that when that item was in another place, the tumah was there already? I'll prove to you that that's not the case. Because Tanan, we have a Mishnah, Maseches Taharos, that tells us as follows. Naga be'echad b'layla. Let's say a person touches another human being at night, but ven yodeim chayim meis. The other human being appears to be sleeping, right? But you don't know if he's alive or if he's dead when you touched him. Ulamachar hishkim umutsa umeis. And then the next morning, you wake up, he didn't. Right, it turns out to be dead the next morning. So Rameir mitaher v'cham mitamin. Rameir says that you're tahar. The guy who touched him is tahar, and the chams say no. The guy who touched him is tamei. Why? Shekalatumos kishas mitziasan. All tumos are as you found them, and since you found him dead right now, we assume that when you touched him last night, he was dead as well. V'tani Allah, and the Brisa tells us about this, that that's kishas mitziasan. Ooh, b'makom mitziasan. That it's only when you find him in the same place. But if you that's when we assume that your tummy, if you touched him the previous night. But let's say you touched him in one corner of the house last night, and then the next morning you find him dead in the other corner of the house. So then we're not going to assume that your tummy. We're not going to be machzik tumah mimakom lemakom. So how could Rabbi Yochanan say that we're machzik tumah mimakom lemakom? So before we answer the question, is this a good kasha? Meaning the case is a human being that you touched over there, and now you find him over there dead, right? So that's a kasha. Tosfos Rosh points out, how's this a hukhacha at all? By a sheretz, a dead sheretz ends up wherever a dead sheretz ends up. It gets moved around and kicked around. A human being, if he went from one corner to the other corner, he was obviously alive if he went from one corner to the other corner. No one was schlepping him around. So the Tosa Rush suggests that the Gemara assumes that we're mitame, the guy who touched the dead body, only makom tziyasa, even if you know for sure that someone moved the body. That even if you know that someone else moved the body and he didn't walk from one place to the other, we would still be we would still say this halacha, that it's only tamei b'makom mitziyasan and not shalom b'makom mitziyasan. Oh, so then it's a good raya to the sheretz, that just the fact that it's in a different makom, but at the time that we found him to be tamei, shows us that it's that it wasn't that way before. So says Gemara, fi tema, but maybe you're going to answer me, hani mi lilisov av litlos talinan. You might tell me, you know, that what we say in the Braisa, that we're not machzik tumim makom l'makom, that means we don't assume that it's vaday tameh, but maybe at least to make a suffik tuma, to assume that it's a suffik, that maybe when the mace was in, when this guy, when this human being was in the other corner of the room, that at least was suffik tummy, so we're not going to burn truma based on it, but you do have to be choshesh. And Rabbi Yochanan also says machzik tumah makom makom maybe doesn't mean b'toras vaday that we're machzik tumah makom makom. Maybe it only means b'toras suffik. In fact, the Gemara says, the Gemara, I'll bring you three rayas that's not true. Three rayas that it's not only b'toras suffik that the Mishnah is telling us that we're not machzik tumah makom makom. Umita linad, are we machzik tumah makom makom even as far as being tola? Raya number one, v'atna. We have a Mishnah in the third paragraph of Masechet Taros that talks about the following: machat shenimtzis maleya chaluda. Shavura, if you have a needle that's found to be full of rust or it's broken, in either case it's no longer a kli and therefore it's no longer makabel tuma, and if it had tuma, the tuma goes away. So tahor, it's now tahor, it's not going to be metame taros that are on that machat. Shekala tameos kishatz mitziyasan, all tameos are assumed to be as you found them. So if you find it in contact, you find this machat in contact with something else, you have the right to assume that it only came in contact with it after it already was no longer a kli. And even though it was, when it was a kli, it was tameh, these items are going to be tahora. Vamai. Now, if what we said in the Bryce is that we're not machzik tumah makom makom only as far as tumas vadai, that we're not going to be sort of truma, but nevertheless, suffik tumah is still going to be operative, and we're going to still say that it's tolin. So why does the Mishnah say that the taros are tahoros? Lema haime ikar machat mal yasehi. Let's assume that, you know, originally this needle was a perfectly functional kli, and maybe the food was on it at a time when it was a functional tamei kli v'ashtu del chaluda, and it was only afterwards that it developed the rust. And before it developed the rust, it was already metame the taros, and at least let's be metame the taros misafek. From the fact that we don't say that, we just say that the taros are tahoros, that it's absolutely tar. So you see that this din, that kol atumus kshas mitziyasan, is a din vaday, that it's not a din safek. So kol atumus kshas mitziyasan is a din vaday. So l'chora kol atumus b'makom mitziyasan is also a din b'toras vaday. It's not a din b'toras safek, because we assume that those two go hand in hand. That if it's kshas mitziyasan, as is the way you found it, then it's also only in the same location that you found it. That the tumah was only in the location that you found it, not in its original location. And I'll bring you a second proof that we're not going to say tolin, that we're going to say betumas betaras vaday va'otnan. We have a Mishnah also Masechet Taros in the ninth paragraph of Masechet Taros. Matzah sheretz sorof al gabei azesim. If you find a sheretz that is burnt on top of olives, so since it's burnt, it's not able to be metame. V'chein matlus hamuhumaham. Or if you find a on top of the zesim, a beged that's worn out of a zav that had become tameh, but now that it's worn out, it no longer has a din of a beged, and therefore it loses its status of tuma, tahar. It's not going to be metame the zesim that you find on it. Why? Shekal tumos kshas mitziyasan. Because as you found it, this is not a kli that's able to be metame something. So we don't assume that it came in contact with the zesim prior to the sheretz being burnt, or prior to the beged being worn out, and therefore was metame the zesim. No, what do I say? That if right now this sheretz is burnt, if right now this kli is worn out, that's how it must have come in contact with the zesim. Now, from the fact that we're not even metame misafek, apparently that shows us kishas mitziyasin means betoras vaday. So if you're going to say kalatubos kishas mitziyasin is betoras vaday, then mistama you're going to say that bimako mitziyasin is also betoras vaday, that the tuma is only in location that you found it. V'chitema, maybe you'll tell me no. Both of the rayas that you brought to me, that we assume betoras vaday, that the tuma is kishas mitziyasin, both of the rayas were not about makom mitziyaso. They were both about shas mitziyaso. And then, you know, when we finished the raya, we had to add in, oh, a mistama. Mistama, the same that applies to makom, to shas mitziyaso, applies to makom mitziyaso. Maybe not. maybe kishas mitziyasan. Maybe you're right. The kolatim was kishas mitziyasan. That's a din b'toras vaday, and that's bein lekula bein lechumra. But that's only if it's in the same makom. Aval shalom b'makom mitziyasan. But maybe in when it's not b'makom mitziyasan, it's not b'toras vaday misrav lo sarfinan and mitzla talinan. Maybe that would only be b'toras safik. And therefore, we can go back to Rabbi Yochanan's teretz that as far as being tola, we're maksik tuma, meaning not Rabbi Yochanan said what we were metarets within shitas Rabbi Yochanan that when as far as being tola, we're maksik tuma mimakom lemakom. Says Mer, no, that's not true because I'll prove to you that even kolatumos. B'makom mitziyasan is b'toras vaday. How so? V'atanan tosefta. That tells us as follows. Kikar al gabe adaf. Let's say you have a loaf of bread that was placed on a on an awning of sorts that umadav tameh munach tachtav, and you have a tameh beged underneath that awning, and then you come and you find the kikar on the ground, but not on the beged, like beyond where the beged is. If the kikar fell off of that awning, it would have landed on the beged and then maybe bounced a little bit and gone beyond where the beged is. So most likely scenario, as you're looking at that, where that kikar was yesterday and where it is today, is that it hit the beged somewhere in between and therefore became tameh. So even though it's efshar elim kein naga tahora, nevertheless the kikar is still considered to be tahora. Why? Shani omer adam tar nichnas hasham. We assume that an Adam Torah came and took it and put it on the ground, and it didn't fall and therefore hit the beged. Ad sheyomar bari li shel nichnas adam sham. Unless you could say, I know that no human being had access to that area, and therefore no one had moved that kikar manually, and it must have fallen on its own. And if that's the case, that's when we assume it touched the beged. Va'amar Rav Lazar, Rav Lazar comments in that brisa, lo nitzcha el lemakom midron. The brisa only needs to tell me that the kikar is tahora. That because we would be told that an Adam placed it there if the awning that was on somewhat of a slant. So the Bryce is telling me that even though it was slanted, and therefore it's likely that the kikar fell off of that awning, and if it fell, it would have touched the beged. Nevertheless, it's Torah, because I could assume that a person came and put it on the ground. But let's say the kikar was on a flat awning, so then even without that that reason, the kikar would be Tahora. It's more mistaver to say that an Adam Torah took the kikar and put it on the karka than to say that it fell off of a flat awning. So you see that we're not machzik tuma mimakom lemakom. What do we assume? That since you found the kikar in a makom tahar, we're not choshesh that it was nizgalgel from a makom tameh, that it landed on this tameh beged and then rolled to here. So you see that this din of ein machzik tuma mimakom lemakom is said even lekula, not just lechumra. So it's a din vada, it's not a din safek, and not like the Gemara wanted to say according to Rabbi Yochanan that it's a din safek, and therefore the kasha on Rabbi Yochanan goes back that he says that we're machzik tuma mi makom lemakom. Over here we see that we're not machzik tuma lemakom lemakom. So all of this, how do we get to all of this? Because we had a kasha on Chizkiyah that how can Chizkiyah say that we're machzik tuma lemafreya that we were not machzik tuma lemafreya. I both Shammai and Hillel are machzik tuma lemafreya. Both Shammai and Hillel do assume that there is tuma lemafreya. So we suggested no, Shammai and Hillel are only mode by a zavis kupa, but the machlokas Chizkiyah where Chizkiyah is going to say that we're not machzik tuma lemafreya is where the whole box moved to a different location, and that's where Chizkiyah will say that we're not machzik tuma. But even so, even when the old box moved to a different location, Rabbi Yochanan says we are machzik tuma makom lemakom. So the Gemara is now asking on Rabbi Yochanan, even in a different location, we find tuma in this location. We have to assume the tuma was already there in that location. We had the case of the touching the dead body in the middle of the night, which is against Rabbi Yochanan, where we see that we're not machzik tuma mimakom lemakom. If you touch the dead body in that, if you touch the body in that corner, and now it's a dead body in this corner, we're not machzik tuma mimakom lemakom. So we're back to that kasha on Rabbi Yochanan. So answers the Gemara, Hasam, by the kikar that falls on the ground, kidiktani taima. We already said that the kikar is Torah because shani yomer adam tar nichlas shamunutala, that a person must have taken it and put it on the ground. But by the kupa, where there's machlokas chisven and Rabbi Yochanan, the sheretz is found in the kupa in a different corner, and b'shas mitziyasa it's tamei. So you can't say this svara of shani yomer, and that's why Rabbi Yochanan holds that we're maksim tum makom and makom and we're choshesh that maybe it was it was already nitma in the first place, in the first location that it was. So ask the Gemara, just like we say by the kikar that was on the awning, that a Torah person may have moved it. Hachanami nima ori vasu shada. Well, just like you say by a kikar, a person may have come and moved it. Well, why can't you say by the kupa as well that you find the sharetz in that an orev came and dropped the sharetz in the box after you moved it to this location? And when it was in the first location, the sheretz wasn't there. Just like you choshish for an adam moving a kikar, why aren't you choshish for an orev moving the sheretz? So it says, because adam de bekavana amrinan, orev de shlo bekavana lo amrinan. A person is mindful, so he does mindful activities, right? By an orev, it would have had to have been a remarkable coincidence that he dafki drops the sheretz, pumped right in this box. So that, we don't assume, that's not a mindful thing. An orev doesn't do mindful things. So that, we don't assume. It's not so mistaver that it would drop the sheretz in the box. So frankly, Mar Michti, hi kikar savik tumber shus yachidu. Wait a second, this kikar that you found on the ground is a savik tumber shus yachid, and it's a savik whether it touched the beged, the kikar that was on the awning that dropped. We don't know if it touched the beged or not. What's the rule? Kal savik tumber shus yachid svekatame. Whenever you have a savik tumber shus yachid, we always assume svekatame. Mishum David Dover Shein Bodas Sans Gemara. Mishum David and therefore the question is, why are we mitar the kikar? Just because right now it's in a makum tar. Answers Gemara, Mishum David Dover Shein Bodas Li Sha'el. Because a kikar is something that you can't, that will not answer questions when you try to interview it. Right? It doesn't have das to be able to respond when you say, oh, whoa, what happened over here, kikar? You were up there yesterday and now you're over here. So it's not going to be able to respond to it. Kal Dover Shein Bodas Li Sha'el, Bein Bershus Ram, Bein Bershus Yachid, Sveiko Tahar. And anytime that anything that doesn't have das Li Sha'el, that the halach is whether it's Shusam or Shusayachid, we're going to assume Savik Tuma is going to be Tahar. And we learned that from Sota, because the Sota is Yesh Badas Lishal. Meaning the whole way we know that Savik Tuma Shusayachid is Tameh and Savik Tuma Shusram is Tahar is from a Sota. Sota happens to be an example of Yesh Badas Lishal. So anything that's in Badas Lishal is going to be Sveiko, is going to be Sveiko Tahar, even Bur Shusayachid. Or a second possible answer, the Bayisema, but it's Machlok Rashi tells second possible answer to what. So let's see what the answer is, and then we'll try to figure out what question we're answering with the second possible answer. The Bayisema, Hacha Betumid Rabbanan, Tekanami Dekatani Madaf Kedichsiv Ala Nidaf. That over here by the kikar that's on the awning, we're talking about the beged that's under it is only tamei with the tumah drabanan, and therefore even in Rosh Hashanah Yachid it's sveiko tahar. Whereas the Gemara says, and I'll prove to you that we're talking about a tumah drabanan, because it says madaf, which sounds like a lower level tumah, because the pasuk says ala nidaf, and it's talking about a davar kal. It's talking about something that's only a tumah drabanan is a tumah drabanan would qualify as a davar kal, as something that's much lighter. That's a less serious form of tumah. So as Machlokes Rashi tells us what question this is answering. Rashi holds that the Gemara is giving another answer on the very last question that we asked. That michti, hi kikar savik tumah rishus yachid hu. So why are we assuming that it's tar? We should assume savik tumah rishus yachid is tameh. So we say nah, because this is a tumah drabanan. So savik tumah drabanan rishus yachid, we could assume is tar. Tosus holds that this is going on the previous question of why we're metayher the kikar according to Rabbi Yochanan. And the Gemara is answering that even if you're not going to be told that an Adam Tahar moved it, we could still be mekel because it's only a tumah midrabanan. And that's why even without the possibility of an Adam Tahar having come and moved it, we're still going to be mekel. There is an interesting discussion in Poskim that relates somewhat to this sugya. Rav Moshe has a tshuva in Yardei Chel Gimel Sum Kufnun Tes. Let's say Rachmana Litzlan, the person finds his relative dead, and he has no idea when the relative died. So when exactly are you supposed to observe the yard site if they find the body? When you kaveh the yard site, and he says you should be kaveh the yard site on the day that you found him. You found him dead because everyone is cheskas chayim. So misafik, we say that he died at the last possible moment. In our Gemara, it says that the Chum hold that if you touch somebody at night and then the next morning you find that he's dead, all the taros that you touched are tamei, because kalatumos are kishas mitziyasan, and we don't assume that he had a cheskas chayim, right? So what do you do about that? Our Gemara assumes that we are mitamei lemafreya. So he says, well, Tosus explains it's just a chumra by kachim. So l'shita satos not a kasha at all. That's a chumra for kachim. But he says, Rambam holds it's for all tumos and taros, not just for kachim. So says Rav Moshe, that's if you didn't see the guy alive the previous night. But if you saw him alive the previous night, then it would be tahar. And it's mustaber, not only if you saw him alive the previous night, even if you saw him alive several days before that, we have a chazaka that he was alive. And it's only when you find him dead that you never knew him when he was alive. Only then, it's quite an akimta to make in the Gemara, only then do you assume that the tumma goes to mafreya on the dead body. What's the svara? Do you think this dead body was never alive? I mean, obviously you know that it was alive. It looks like an adult body, right? You know that it was alive at some point. Yeah, but you never saw it that way, and therefore klape you, it doesn't have such a chazaka. It's a wild chiddush, but that's what Rav Moshe writes. Rav Sternbach also has a very unusual analysis of this kind of case. I mean, the pashtus is that you ask the doctors, the medical examiner, you know, what's the level of decay of the body? What's the most likelihood of when it died? Rav Sternbach had a case where they found the body and they said this body is cold, it's been dead for a few hours, but the few hours brings you back right around to Bein HaShemashel. So you're not sure if it was before Shkia or if it was after, so you don't know when to be Koveya, the yard site. So Rav Sternbach says, you know, all of the discussions that we're going to have of Chazakos and everything else, that's all a Din Hanhaga. But Yartzeit has to be klapei emes. It can't be anhaga, it has to be a birur, because it does tikkunim or whatever, so it has to be klapei emes. So all of the halachas you can throw out the window, it's not going to help you when it comes to trying to figure out the yom ha-Yartzeit, which is also a very interesting way of looking at things. There is a well-known Chuvas Chassam Sofer, but the Chassam Sofer had a shayla that a person was mesupach about a Yom HaYartzeit for a different reason, where a guy was learning in yeshiva or something, and it used to be yeshiva wasn't next door, it was very, very far away, and he got word months later that his father died, and it wasn't clear whether he died on Dalit or Hay of the month. So he wanted to know what day to observe the yard site. So Chassam Sofer has a fascinating analysis of Aran Psachim and Aran Megillah and the Mishnah Melchus Miyashivit. A genius approach to the whole thing, that it depends if he has siblings that know when the yard site is, or he doesn't have siblings that know when the yard site is. But over there, it's also a different case, because over there, it's Chassam Sofer ultimately says that if he has siblings that are observing the yard site on the correct day, and they know what the correct day is, but he's here, he should do the first of the 2 days, or whatever is the first. But over there it's a 50-50. Meaning if you're dealing with, you find a dead body and it could have died any day, so then it's maybe a totally different analysis. Okay, anyway, then we had the sheet of the Chamim that said, the Chamim said, not like Shammai, that was Metame, that's Daya Shaita, nor like Hillel, that's Metame, Mifkidu Lefkida, rather, Me'esleis is Me'etes, Ayde Mifkidu Lefkida, Mifkidu Lefkida is Me'etes, Ayde Me'esleis. So Tanur Rabbanon, the Chamim, not like Shammai, who didn't make any sort of geder to midrabanan to be metame the isha l'mafreya, and he says that it's only dayashaita, nor like Hillel, who made such a geder that he's metame her, even if the last time she did a bedika was days ago, so all the Torah says she dealt with in the last several days are all going to be metame. We look at whatever was more recent, the last bedika or the last 24 hours. And that's how far back the Tumah L'Mafreya goes. She did a bedika on Sunday and she was fine. She didn't do any bedika Monday, Tuesday, and then Wednesday she checks and finds that she's Tameh. We don't go back to Sunday to be Metami Ol Taros, only 24 hours. And what's the reverse case? She checked herself at 9 o'clock this morning and everything was fine. 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, she did nothing. 12 o'clock, she checked and it was Tameya. We don't go back to 12 o'clock yesterday afternoon. You go back to 9 o'clock this morning and say that anything that she touched, any taras that she touched since 9 o'clock this morning is going to be a problem. Says Gemara, that last part, Pshita. Why would I have a half a minute to go back to yesterday at 12 o'clock? She checked herself 9 o'clock this morning and it was fine. So I did Tanami, that part is obvious, but it says it's just agav. So I'm a rabbi, my time I had rabbanon. What's the svara for the rabbanon? Isha margeshas basra, because a woman has a hargasha, so if she would have seen dam, she would have been margish. I'm a rabbi, im kente dayashaita. That's Shammai's reasoning. Then it should be dayashaita. Yeah, Rabbi was just trying to say something shocking to see if Abaye would chap. What's the real reason for the rabbanon? Rabbanan. He had on Rabbi Dimar Shmuel, Chacham Tiknul and Lebanon Yisrael, she bought Kusatz Meshach Shavis, Shach Vesach Shatar Shalayla, Vavis Sach Shatar Shalyom. A woman is supposed to check twice a day in order that she shouldn't be risking too many Taharos. So, Vizu, Hoil, Velo Badka, Hifsida Ona. This woman, because she didn't check, we're going to cost her another Ona. My Ona, Ona Yisera, an extra period, time period. So she's going to lose 24 hours worth of Taharos. That's her Knas for not checking. Sometimes if you go back 24 hours, you're actually going to touch on three onos, because if it's the middle of the afternoon that she finds tuma, so it's going to be this ona, this day, last night, and the whole yesterday day. So says Gemara, we just try to make things, the halacha should be across the board, regardless of when she did her check, that it should always be 24 hours. We don't want someone who didn't check till later in the day to have a greater benefit for delaying her check even further. So if she were to wait till the afternoon, we can't say we'll give her less than 24 hours. My benayu, and what's the difference between these two explanations? Ika benayu did nisa v'lobadka. Let's say the reason she didn't check was because of some sort of onus. Then it's not shayich to make some sort of knas, but the svara of just being mashu midosayim and making it an across-the-board rule, that svara would still apply. Okay, Bez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Kalisha Shesh Levesas.